Amen. Can you put George's slide back up? The one I just want to improve on the spiritual emphasis. I want to improve on Russell's announcement. No, I really want to emphasize the emphasis of the emphasis weekend. George and Liz will be with us next Sunday in the morning, this Thanksgiving Sunday. They're going to be ministering. But then that weekend, George will be sharing for the Friday. And we're going to start at 6:30 on Friday. 6:30 on Friday. 9:30 for 10. We'll have a coffee here in the morning on the Saturday and then Sunday service. But after the service on Sunday, we will have a potluck. So bring your best meal and your best game. So that's the spiritual emphasis weekend. Friday, 6:30, Saturday, 9:30 for 10, and then Sunday. So we're looking forward to an amazing time. And I ask you to pray for those dates. Some of us were with Frank on Friday night. Frank Satius, if you remember him from camp, he's also an elder at large of our church, part of our leadership team. And he was sharing with us as leaders on Friday. But one of the comments he made, and I wanted to get his English, his words better. I didn't want to falsely quote him. Oh, now I can't find it, huh? He said this amazing thing. Most of the meetings we don't need. Most of these meetings we don't need. They are for others. And he was challenging us to, we have said it 100 times in 100 ways. We don't just have meetings. Russell said it again this morning. We don't just have meetings for the sake of meetings. But when we come together, it's for others. It's for God, for His glory, for His honor, to lift Him up. And so that the next generation behind these walls can be filled with the Holy Spirit and can know Jesus. Amen? And so when we come together, if we as leaders get a little bit frantic up, I don't know what word to use. Some of you think we're angry. Some of you think we're frustrated. Some of you think, I don't know what you think. But it's like we're saying, let's not waste these moments that we have together. Let's lift up Jesus. And this morning as we're worshiping, I just want to thank the worship team again just to make much of Jesus, because that's the only hope for anybody coming in this place. And then with that is invite your friends and family. Invite people to come to church. Sometimes it's hard to share the gospel totally. We share our neighbors. We've been blessed to have, I'd say, 90% of our neighbors around us come to at least a meeting. Some have given their hearts to Jesus. Some are in other churches, that's okay. But just, they need to know what we're about and who we are as Christian believers. So let's make the most of our meeting. Is that okay? And so when we're up here saying, let's worship, then worship. You know, I tend to get a bit negative. Some of you might say amen. It's okay. But it's like, what I want to say, can I just say what I want to say? You know, it's just pathetic. You just can't even lift up one arm for Jesus as we sing. It's like, and we're saying all to Jesus, we're going to give Him and we're going to do everything. Then let's just at least do something for Jesus. Amen? Is that okay? You're still happy. So when we come to worship God, let's make much of our Sundays, much of the meetings we do have. If we have a spiritual emphasis, it's not because we got nothing to do. It's because we believe we're in a good season, a new season. We're asking, you know, let's hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. That's why we invited Frank. He's ministering in Leduc this morning. So we grabbed him for Friday night, and we got to spend the evening with him and just hear his heart about vision and sharing and encouraging, challenging. It was good. Amen? So, that's for free. Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 40. We're going to continue with the story about, forgotten but not forsaken is my chapter. Last week, Pete was talking about, the tests. And we had 4 tests. If you were here last week, if you didn't, you can listen. And what I love, the comment, I'm going to quote him later, but I'll quote him now, is these tests are not just, you know, so we prove, you know, we love God or something, but it's proving our lives, like refining. And I have another good quote here. It's like, faith isn't improving like gold until it's been through fire. We want our faith improved. We want it like pure gold. We sing the songs. But it isn't improved and isn't improving until it goes through fire. And none of us pray for that too much. I remember some years ago, I don't know what I was waxing eloquently on in church, but I remember saying, do I need to pray that God will just bring troubles in your life? Because that's the only time it seems like people will come to church and they'll pray and they'll say, pray for me, Pastor. It's when they got problems. So then I pray you get lots of problems so that you come and cry out to Jesus. But our faith will be tested. Amen? So that was last week's sermon, and I'm going to quote a couple of things about it. But this morning, forgotten, not forsaken, in chapter 40, I want to read just a couple of key verses. We'll go back into chapter 39 if you have your Bible, just for a minute. I'm in a NIV Bible here. Just listen, and we'll get into chapter 40. But I just want to read a couple of key verses. At end of chapter 39, you know, when we were kids in school, I don't know if you used to use the joke, but we'd do this. What's this? None of you know that joke? What's this? I don't know, but here it comes again. Here we come again. Every time I get a verse about Joseph, he's just thrown in a pit, or this time he's thrown in a prison. It's like, come on, man. When do we get to the good stuff about, we'll get there in later chapters. I hope you're doing your homework, reading to chapter 50. But this story about Joseph in the prison, but I want to go back to just a couple of verses in verse 30, chapter 39. It says, but while Joseph was there in prison, okay, he's back in prison. He was in Potiphar's house, remember? And last week, Pete talked about the trials and the temptations, and he overcame it. He was tested, but stayed true. And staying true and faithful to God doesn't guarantee no trials. And now, the end of chapter 39, back in prison, not just pits out of the palace, but now back in prison. But while Joseph was there in prison, here's the good word, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden, so that the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. But this translation, in my estimation, is a little bit weak. But the Bible, what he said is God showed him steadfast love. Here it says he showed him kindness and granted. It's okay. God's kindness, we could talk, but he showed him steadfast love, which we'll mention a little later. I just wanted to put a circle around that. While in prison, while tested, God showed him steadfast love. Amen? Then if you go on into chapter 40, and it's the whole chapter, so I'm hoping you're doing your homework. But sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master. So you got this cupbearer and you got the baker. And they have this dream in prison. And Joseph interprets it. And he tells the cupbearer, in 3 days, you're going to be restored to the king and you're going to serve him again and you'll be ministering at his table. So the baker is kind of excited. And then Joseph has to tell him his dream. The birds coming and pecking the bread and taking the food. 3 days, and the way, like the Bible, doesn't soften it. He lifts his head, takes his head, and Joseph tells him just as simple as that. And then, as he said, in 3 days, the king has this celebration, or restores the cupbearer to his position, and takes the head off the baker. So the moral of the story is, do not be a baker. It doesn't pay very much. But at the end of this chapter, what happens? You remember from your homework, the cupbearer forgets. So, 2 years later, there's Joseph in prison. And then we'll get on to some of the good news later on. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. I thank you for your holy, anointed, infallible word, that every word that is there is for a purpose, for our edification, our strengthening, for teaching, for rebuking, correcting. And I pray this morning your word would be rich and powerful in our lives. I thank you for the steadfast love of God. I thank you for every trial by faith. I thank you that you are refining, you are proving us for greater things. In Jesus' name, bless your word today. Amen and amen. Amen. So there are a couple of things that I want to get. Number one, put up the next slide. Trials are guaranteed. I'm quoting Peter. Not just Peter, Peter. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. If you want to know your faith is genuine, you want to know what you have is real, it's going to have to be put through the fire. And I want to ask you this morning, do you feel forgotten? Do you feel neglected? Do you feel overlooked? Do you feel unappreciated? Do you feel misunderstood? Do you feel falsely accused? Welcome to the really world. Welcome to the club. That is describes a lot of life, and that's what happened to Joseph. And what I said is trials are guaranteed. And that's not a, I don't hear a lot of you shouting hallelujah this morning over that. But if we understand, as Pete said last week, and I don't want to preach his message over, but if we understand it's God proving for greater things, to fulfill this amazing dream that was still to come, 22 years in the making. That's the part that's hard to see. That's the part that's not fun to see right now, to think, okay, I'm going to trust you, God. I believe everything you do is good, and you are good, and I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to, and then, you know, God just, like Joseph, he tries to help God a little bit. Just remember me. And God says, okay, another couple of years. Just work out a couple of kinks in your life. And we've all been there. But I got a couple of verses. First Peter is the one that's up there. Just, you don't need to go on the screen with all these. But it says, trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Somehow, in the midst of it, we got to get the bigger picture of, okay, God, something good for your glory, for your honor. Another verse we all quote, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Joseph finally gets out of the pit just to end up in prison. And it seems like God always wants me to be the one talking about these pits. And I want to talk about the fun stuff, the good stuff, but we're going to get there. It seems like Joseph being faithful and doing what was right wasn't guaranteeing him no troubles. But the promise is God will be with us. Here's another verse, 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life, how many desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ? Yes. Some of you are faking it this morning. You know where I'm going with this, so you're just holding back. This is the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Fact number one, John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Fact number two, we're in this world, right? When we get saved, we don't just go straight to heaven. If anybody's told you nothing but prosperity and blessing when you give your life to Jesus, you need to listen to what the Word of God says. Matthew 7:27, Jesus said, when the storm came, the house... Okay, these verses are familiar. It's not if the storm comes. The storms are coming. What has to be is you've built your house on the solid rock. You've got prepared. Paul says it like this, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 11. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. If you want more, I can take you to more. You want to live a godly life. I want to live a godly life. I want my faith pure. Like, we sing these songs. Okay. Then get ready for the fire. And don't hold back. It's like, okay, God, bring it. God loves us too much to leave us where we're at. That's good theology. He's refining. He's working. He's testing. He's proving and improving us and our faith like fine gold. And I thank God for the battles that I've been through, that I'm through them. I don't want to repeat them. And I had a wise old professor from Bible school back in the day, when I went through trials up in Swan Hills, he came and said, you know, what I've learned in my short little life is that when you pass through these trials, you'll never have to go through them again if you've proven faithful. There will be others. But this was preparation for something else. And so whatever you've been through, that you've been faithful and trusted God and come through and are coming through and going through, He's preparing you for something better. And we won't have to repeat that. We won't have to deal with that if we've allowed God to deal with the stuff in our heart. If we don't, if we just run church to another, one relationship to another, whatever, wherever you go, there you are. That's another good theology. You run from that, okay, you're going to find, you don't like me, you just wait. There is a pastor waiting for you to show up that's going to put you straight. You're gonna thank Jesus for that day. I was with Len Rutten in Joy Life Church. Lord, what are you doing in my life? Get ready. God loves us. That's why He puts us through the fire to prove our lives. Let's move on. Get some good stuff. Number two, put that slide up there. Our circumstances did not define our faith. Amen? Our faith should define how we live in every circumstance. I like Joseph. You go back to Joseph's story, he remained faithful in prison. We love to jump ahead in this story. Amen? We love to get to that good part where you champion the king of Egypt. And hallelujah, glory. But God has a way of taking us through, taking time, but we have to learn to not let that shape us, not let our circumstance define our faith, but our faith defines who we are, how we will respond to this stuff. Genesis 40, verse 6 to 7, this is why I'm mentioning Joseph. He saw the baker and he saw the cupbearers were sad. The point I'm trying to make is he noticed them other people. He said, what's wrong? And they told him his dream, and he interpreted. The baker might have not liked to have heard that so much, but Joseph cared. Joseph ministered. Joseph got outside while he was in prison. So what my point I'm trying to make is, don't let circumstance, prison, trials, people make you into something you're not. You're not that. I've said that to many of you in this church. You go through stuff that you've been through, you in this house. And it's, you know, it sounds like, oh, it's quite an easy thing to just say. Don't let that define who you are. Don't let those people make you into something you're not. You're not that. You are a man of God. You're a woman of God. You are doing your best. And some child or some teacher or some person or some whoever, devil, telling you you're a failure, telling you you're a liar, telling you you're messed up, there's no hope. No! And I've shared my stories many times of going through hard stuff, and you want to react, and it's like, no, that's not who I am. I'm not that. I'm going to stay with who I am over here and trust God that he's going to take me through this. Because that idea of revenge or getting even or fixing or if we could just get the truth out there. And you can't. So you say, okay, God, I'm going to allow my faith to define who I am. I am going to stay sweet and lovely in the face of all this. Hallelujah. No, seriously, it's like we're going to allow God to define who we are. I know who I am in God. And there's times, you know, I'm getting this stuff right and there's times I'm not. But I'm going to trust what God is doing, not what some palooga says about me. I'm going to trust him. I shared this with someone this last week. I've shared this my whole life. Dignify the trials. You're going through them. You may as well dignify them. And what I mean by that is just honor God through it. Just honor God. Okay, God, help me. I'm not saying just pretend everything's hunky-dory and just ignore, you know, what's going on. No, it's just, God, I'm going to dignify this test. I'm going to dignify. And I've shared it with many people, seniors who have battled health and strength, and they grow sweeter, not bitter. They just go through. They're just like, God is faithful, looking towards heaven. You know, it's like, dignify the stuff. Honor God. Honor what he's doing in our lives. That's my point. I've already said it. Faith isn't improving like gold until it's been through the fire. Get your eyes off yourself. Serve others. See something bigger than your little problem, my little problems. You want joy in life? Serve and minister to others. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You're a quiet group. We need Frank to come here, and he's going like this again. It's like he doesn't allow this sort of quiet participation. See, I'm much nicer than Frank. So you see? Yeah, don't let circumstances or others change who you are. I'm not talking about denying troubles, but those troubles are not us. And I shared a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago. My brother Brian, who's here today, telling me when I was sitting there in Swan Hills, and they're saying, I think you just jumped the gun here. And I'm like, what am I doing in Swan Hills? And a good brother encouraged me to remember what God said. Remember why God brought you here. And I didn't share some of the beautiful results of some of those trials we went through, but God is faithful if we can just dignify the trial, dignify the circumstance. Take it like a man. Take it like a woman. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I didn't wake up this morning to offend you, but if I have, it's okay. Take 30 seconds and get over it. I'll do the same. It's like, it's okay. We're in this together. We're in this for bigger things, for the kingdom of God. And again, if we could, I wish we should all just go through this door and just walk through the classrooms this morning. I like that. Good timing, man. Third one. God shows steadfast love. That's why I like that this translation, you know, is kindness, but it's in there. His loving kindness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His goodness never, his mercies never come to an end. See, that's why I don't sing in church, you see. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Amen? That's a good song. And that's what Lamentations literally says. And that's the word that's used, chesed. I know a little Hebrew. He makes some good matzo balls down the street over there. But chesed. It's chesed love. If Pete can use big words, I'll use some big words this week. Steadfast. Like, we just say those words. Steadfast. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, never changes, never comes to an end. Amen? It's new every morning. So I don't care what went through yesterday. You messed up. I messed up. You felt God forsake you. You felt you're alone. You felt you're thrown in a prison. People accused you. You've been neglected. You've been lied about. You've been deserted. A spouse you thought was with you for life walked out. A father, a mother. I don't care. I do care. It's not what I mean. But God's steadfast love is what holds us. And, you know, I could take you to lots of scriptures, but if, you know, would a mother forget her baby at her breast? That's the best picture God could show, but he even says, but if she does, I will never forsake you. Like, I know the wickedness of human hearts, but that picture of a mother with a baby, would she, I mean, you know the stories. They will fight a bear. They will go through fire to protect their daughter, their son. And God says, I'll do more than that. His steadfast, like we could preach all morning about the steadfast love of God. Never changes. I change. I'm all over the place. One thing that's been happening, and it tied in with what Frank said on Friday to us, but one thing for me, I don't sleep past 3 in the morning any half the time. So I get up and I'll read and I'll do whatever and sometimes go back to bed. But what I've been doing lately, I've done it in the past, but it's like I'm so mad at the devil. So in my little house coat, don't judge me, Matthew, pitter-pattering around in our living room, everybody's sleeping. Well, right now it's just Lori, but we had lots of grandkids around. And I just pray. And I don't care. You'd think I'm a fanatic, but I don't care. There's something stirring in my heart. That's what Frank said and what I shared this morning. We're not just about having more meetings. But it's, God, break into this country. Break into my home. Break into my heart. I don't want to just get used to this stuff. I don't want to just be a 50-year in the way guy. You know, I've been in the way for 50 years. And then get out of the way and let God move. You know, all the sermons. I don't want to be that. I want God to minister. God to have his way. God, like, that's why we come together in church. So that he can meet with us and touch us and heal and save and do all the good things. And so I'm encouraging you to just listen to the Spirit of God. I know it's not just me he's stirring. Because I've heard you. I've heard. We were at the Jesus for the University, University for Jesus on Friday night. A number of churches, and our church was on the list there. We didn't have much to do with it, but we were there, and a couple of you were there as well. I don't know how many fit in that theater, 1,000, 2,000, I don't know, it was packed, and there were people outside, and they asked us over 30s to leave. Just think how insulted I was. I'm thinking I'm just in there. I didn't leave, by the way. But there's a hunger. You know, their noise and their levels, and my tinnitus is just fired up sitting in there. But it's like, God, move. Because we walk past, what's that hub? It's called the hub. Like 50 years ago, Brian and Val used to go sing there with your guitar. You know, you think how the world's changed when you could stand in the hub and sing your little, the blood of Jesus. But they had to book that theater a year ago. They got fought with and put out and had to wrestle with the university just to have the privilege, the right to rent that hall and to have a Jesus meeting in there. But when it happened, packed, lined up outside, and they shook the place. And I'm like, okay, now let's take it out of that theater. And let's shake up the university and shake up our classrooms and shake up us. And so that was encouraging. And I'm saying that because God's steadfast love never changes. People change. Societies change. Our country's changed. We've gone through revivals. We've gone through quiet seasons. There's, you know, years ago, R.T. Kendall, when he was speaking in South Africa with us, he would say, you know, I travel the world. There's not really much significant going on generally. There's pockets. But you say, I'm believing and I see this end time revival before Christ comes back and he collects his church. And I don't know about you, but I'm smelling the winds. And there's places and cities and countries and my friends. And I'm saying, God, Edmonton, stir it up. Let the winds blow. But it takes us to get ready. It takes us to be hungry. It takes us to worship and to want God. Amen? Okay. Amen. His love never changes. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. In my life, the sweetest times of knowing the steadfast love of God was in the hardest times. So then why are we so afraid of hard times? And it's like, I don't pray for hard times, but I'm telling you, the steadfast love of God, when you tasted it, you're ruined for life. Let's look at one more thing. God's timing is perfect. Put it up there. His timing always brings us into our purpose. Peter John Barclay, that was last week, got a quote from, I don't know where he got it, but it's a good one. There's a purpose in the timing of God. And I already said, when Joseph tried to help him, things didn't work out that good. Just the right time, God remembered Joseph. Exactly the right time. He must have felt like 2 years, like, I can't even imagine. 2 more years, because the lousy cupbearer forgot about him. And at just the right moment, I remembered my sin. There was a young Hebrew. You know the story. They bring him out. They have to clean him up. He's stunk. He's filthy. They clean him up, and they bring him to the king, and he interprets his dream. And by the end of that interpretation of the dream, if you've read your homework, they're saying, who else is there besides this man? Who else would we choose? This guy. Out of prison into the place that God's promised him. Forgotten, not forsaken. Do you get it? God's not forsaken. His steadfast love and his timing is perfect. But we are the ones who wrestle with that whole timing thing. Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. Just the right moments, God steps into history, steps into our lives. At the right time, the exact time God planned. Can you trust God's timing? Can you trust that God is good and he's working all things together for good for those who are called according to his purposes? I got too many examples, hundreds of them. Hundreds of God's perfect timing. I'll only share 50 this morning, so relax. Russell said we had 26 points in the prayer meeting, so I got a few to go. My son is here at the front. God blessed us with an adopted son. I could tell you 100 stories of the timing, the perfect. But one that sticks is we had a local adoption because we were living in South Africa. We were there. It was handled like a local adoption. It was simple. It was easy. You hear all the horror stories, $30,000 and all these things to adopt overseas. Because we were there, it was a local adoption. To make a long story short, we had to now get Canadian residents, and we had to sponsor Matthew like people are sponsoring grandparents or whoever into the country, wrestling with politics and government and so on. So we had to sponsor Matthew as our son. Even though he's adopted, he's our son. We had to sponsor him into Canada. So we had to prove we had the finances. We had to prove, you know, and they have, if you've ever been involved in any of that, they got very strict. And so we had to show that our income with 3 other kids, so he's the fourth, our income had to be at a certain level based on the Parkland County of Alberta. Nothing to do with the whole rest of the world, but that was our local address. That's where we're from. And we had to prove an income to prove we're able to sustain him. And here's the kicker. Our whole life up till then, we were nowhere near that standard. I don't even want to embarrass you with my mother-in-law sleeping again, but she, I don't want to embarrass her with how poor we were. My dad used to say, why don't you get a real job? All this gimme stuff. But guess what happened right then? And I've shared some of the prophetic and how the wild, crazy-eyed prophet walking by after a pastor's meeting. Oh, by the way, Lynn, this is in July. In December, your finances are going to turn around and you'll never have to worry about it again. And I could tell you the whole story. What happened is Reality Outreach, which is the drama Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, asked us to be the reps for Africa. And so I said, we had done 3 or 4 of these dramas that went crazy and huge, and we had teams, and they said, okay, we'll be that rep. So then these guys are American, half of them, and from Ontario, different mindset. So they're talking about finances. And when they heard our salary, they were embarrassed, even if my mother-in-law isn't embarrassed. And they were like, no. And so our salary tripled in that December. Tripled. That was just our salary. But then we had travel expenses. And then we had merch that we sold to cover anything. And then the churches paid. And then we got given 4x4 vehicles by the ministry, because they were traveling all over the States in those days, in Europe, and now we are in Africa. So all of a sudden, we are filling in the forms for our son. Yes, no problem. That's just one. I can tell you stories and stories and stories of God's perfect timing. He's never late. He's not early, but he's never late. I was kind of like, okay, Lord, for the first 20 years, we could have done a little more of that. But just the right time. Amen? He's so perfect at it. One time when God used me in a perfect moment, God's proven himself through others in a perfect moment. I'm driving with my nephew. Thank God he's like 6'7". His father is Trinidadian, big guy. All my nephews on that side were 6'6". You know, we're used to being tall, but it's kind of like, okay, I feel good. We're driving by my mom's old farm in Black Falls. Turn around this corner, it's snowing, it's like -8, cold, maybe colder. And we come around the corner, it's pitch black, because Alberta's always pitch black. On this little gravel road in the middle of nowhere by my mom's farm, and my lights catch these, I think it was two of the tallest, darkest black men I've ever seen in my life, and I've been 30 years in Africa. And they hit in our lights on this little country road, and we're like, what? And they're wearing these cheap suits with a tie, little shoes. I mean, we just had this flash of these two guys. And we go by and we're both like, what was that? And I'm like, no, we're going to be tortured our whole life if we don't figure this out. Like, what is that? So we turned around and then we couldn't find them. On that dirt road, they were walking. So I'll tell you who they were in a minute. And we get onto the highway because we're just by the dirt road by the highway and turned onto the highway and we couldn't see them. So I pull into the shoulder just because there's no use driving any further. And there they are in my lights again. It was just like pitch black people with pitch black clothes carrying suitcases in a little suit, like thinner than this. And they come into my lights again and they're shocked by me. They thought I was going to run them over and I thought I was going to run them over. And they're like, what is this? And the only reason I was brave is because my nephew was there, 6'7" of them, and he and I are both just, what is this? And we get out, make a long story really short. They were two students from Sudan going to the SDA college in Lacombe, and they had walked from past, if you know, halfway back to Red Deer on the Highway 2, they had walked all that way, all the way across through my mother's old gravel roads a couple of miles to get to the highway to Lacombe, and they were walking all the way. And when we got to them, he couldn't open his hands to let the suitcase go. I said, what are you doing? And they said, well, our car broke, and it's like we saved their lives. And we drove them to the college, and they're like, what? How do you? You can't make that stuff up. The perfect moment. I think we would probably be the only two guys in Alberta that would have stopped. These guys are 7 feet tall. Like, they made Rollin look small, thin, and could walk 100 miles an hour, but frozen. Anyhow, that's for free. God has this perfect timing in our lives, and he's working it out. And so I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Maybe he wants to use you in part of that, or maybe he will show you his perfect timing if you can just have the faith, if you can just hold on. So here's the end. May the band come, please. So what? You say, so what? That's a good question. Does it feel like you're facing some battles? Are you in a prison? Are you in a pit? Have you been forsaken? You think you're forgotten, but you're not. You're not forsaken. You're not left by God. That's what I want to end with. And if you've ever tasted his steadfast love, as I said, you can only really, really, really know it when you're in the prison, when you're in the battle, when you're in the fight for your life. And I want to tell you, after beautiful, pitiful little 50 years of following Jesus in my life, his steadfast love never changes. Africa, we'd always sing the song, you know, Jesus never fails. The people of this world will let you down, but Jesus never fails. In him there is no failure. There is none. He never fails. And here's the last. What is the things God's trying to prepare or prove in you right now for what's coming in the next season? And I'm saying, God, take this stony heart. But here's the kicker. Can you trust God's timing? Can you? Go ahead, sing. Welcome.
Excellent. Why don't you stand with me? And the last point that he's shared is about God's perfect timing.